Well, turn with me in your Bibles to Malachi chapter 1 this morning. I want to, since this is Father's Day, I want to bring you a message about fathers, and specifically the honor that we want to give to fathers. And so let's bow together for prayer before I begin with you. Dear Lord, how thankful we are for all godly men. But we come here this morning to bless and praise your name for the fathers in our midst and even the natural fathers that you've given to us. You are a wise and holy God. And you are the one who gave us our natural father. You are the one who gave us the one who would teach us and hopefully lead us into all the truth in terms of the scriptures and salvation. We know the Holy Spirit alone can do that. But how we thank you for godly fathers. And we pray, thanking you as well, that for all sinners everywhere, that through our Lord Jesus Christ and faith in him, that you become our spiritual father, and by the Holy Spirit lead us into all the truth. So we cry to you, Abba, Father, take us up in your loving care today as this sermon is preached, so that we might all benefit from it, so that we might grow in regard to our obedience to the scriptures and to a better ability to honor our fathers. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Malachi chapter 1. I think I'll read the first six verses to you. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, says the Lord, yet you say, in what way have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, says the Lord, yet Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated, and laid waste his mountains and his heritage for the jackals of the wilderness. Even though Edom has said, we have been impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus says the Lord of hosts, they may build, but I will throw down. They shall be called the territory of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord will have indignation forever. Your eyes shall see, and you shall say, the Lord is magnified beyond the border of Israel. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence, says the Lord of hosts, to you priests who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? The verse that we are studying this morning is set in the context of the Lord's great displeasure with his Old Testament people, Israel. The reason for this displeasure was that he, the one who had loved them, defended them, and who had borne patiently with them in their sins, was not being honored. He addresses this letter to them through the prophet Malachi, to the priests who despise my name. In the verses which follow the one that I read to you, he describes what he meant by that. He complains that they had offered defiled food on his altar. They had offered sacrifices which were not the best among their flocks, but rather the blind, the lame, and the sick. In other words, they had offered that which God was not pleased with. Offerings which they would not dare to bring to their earthly governor. God was not being honored. And along with these poor quality sacrifices, they would take vows unto the Lord, verse 14. But God says to them, "Cursed be the deceiver who has in his flock a male and takes a vow, but sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is to be feared among the nations." This is the day in our society where we honor fathers. This is also the Lord's Day, and every Lord's Day, we as a church honor God, our Father, by worship and praise, which we believe that He delights in. By His grace, we will not dishonor Him by giving to Him that which is defiled in our hearts. But this morning, we want to ask this question: what does honor to our earthly Father consist of? This question is fitting for this day, for if we honor earthly fathers in this way, which I will describe, then how much more should we honor God, our Heavenly Father? So let us consider the honor due to fathers as consisting of four components this morning. They are, first, a respect for who they are. Second, a submission to what they require. Third, an appreciation for what they do. And fourth, a love for them because they have loved us. A respect, a submission, an appreciation, and a love for fathers. The first component of honoring your father is respect for who they are. In the verse that I just read to you, it says, "If then I am a father, where is my honor?" So the kind of honor that is due to an earthly father is respect. And respect, we may say, is an attitude of thoughtful attention communicated in your looks, your speech, and your actions. If you are in the military, you are expected to show respect for the officers over you by coming to attention in your posture and saluting them and saying, "Yes, sir," and "No, sir." You're required to listen carefully to what they have to say to you in order to do what they command. You do this because they have been set over you by men elected and appointed in our government. You do this for the sake of authority, the authority invested in them. They are appointed to an office or an appointment made by the federal government. But all of us need to realize that all authorities that are over us in government are under God. One nation under God, which certain people in government have been trying to take out of our public discourse. But as we think about why our earthly fathers should be respected, we must understand that the first and greatest reason that we honor them is because they have been appointed over us by God. They have been appointed over us by God because we are God's created children. And I want you to turn a page over to Malachi chapter 2. You may not have to turn, but Malachi 2 verse 10. A question is here asked by the prophet: have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously with one another by profaning the covenant of our fathers? You see, there were those in Judah who had profaned the covenant by taking up the worship of a false god. It was a violation of the covenant that they had made with God when He delivered them from their bondage in Egypt and promised to serve him, they had dishonored him. They had disrespected his word to them. And God has created all men, and as such, he is their father by creation. But if they truly honored him, they would treat each other with love and respect and not treacherously. We honor fathers today because it is God who created them. He has given each of us a father. We will respect them and regard them because God has given them the privileges and the position of fatherhood. He instituted fatherhood in connection with marriage and in connection with the man's headship in marriage, and therefore it's a position which represents, on the earthly level, his own invested authority, that is God's authority, and therefore it's a position which deserves an appropriate respect. So honor should always be given where honor is due. It says in several places in the Bible, and all honor must have the foundational attitude, I'm saying, of respect. But honor may be shown, and at times must be shown, in different ways to different people depending upon their station in life or the gifts that God has given to them. We're told in 1 Peter 2:17, that we are to honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. And so we must ask ourselves, what does it mean to honor all men? And we need to understand that it means that we are to have respect for the fact that all men are created in God's image, in his likeness. Even though we know that that image is marred by sin due to Adam's fall in the garden at the beginning of the world. Now, it's true that some men are not worthy to be honored because of the way that they speak, the way that they treat other people. But we need to understand this primary truth in relation to giving all men honor. They are to be honored in the sense of respect because they were created in God's image and likeness. So, we may have a president in power that we do not like the way that he governs, but still we should show him respect for the position of authority that he has been placed in. We honor all men, not because of what they do, but because of God who made them. In other words, all men are to be considered as God's handiwork. We are to fear God by respecting those whom he has created. They are not to be disrespected or looked down upon because they are weak or ignorant or not as intelligent as ourselves. It's a matter of fearing God. And I want you to turn with me over to Leviticus chapter 19, and we'll look at verse 14. Leviticus 19 and verse 14. It says here that you shall not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about the way that you treat people in light of this passage. Do you fear God enough to treat people with respect, even your father when you disagree with him? Even your father, if he's getting older and doesn't seem to be able to understand what it means to be young. God still expects you to treat your father with respect. expects you to treat him with kindness. You may not think that he's as moral a man as he should be. God himself, it says in Luke 6:35, is kind to even evil and ungrateful men. So you do not honor sin, you cannot do so, or men as they commit sin, but the real test of whether you fear God is whether you can continue to show them respect even when a person is not being kind or loving to you. Can you still show respect to a person in authority who does not deserve it? I believe that the biblical answer is yes. And yet we are not to give honor to people in a way that shows partiality. And you can see this if you look at Leviticus 19, verse 15, where it says this, that you shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. In righteousness you shall judge your neighbor. So to honor the person of the mighty is to show partiality to him over the poorer person, as is talked about in James chapter 2. The honor that we give and the honor that we show should not be based upon being given money or bribes. It must be an honor which fears the Almighty first and wishes to respect all men based upon what God has done in them and through them. What kind of honor should be given to older fathers and older people in general? You can see it if you look over at Leviticus 19, verse 32. Interesting that all these verses are clustered in the book of Leviticus, isn't it? Leviticus 19, 32. It says here, "You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man, and fear your God. I am the Lord." In the margin of my Bible, it says that you should rise to give honor. Now let me ask you, do you show respect for your aged father in this way? Do you show respect for all aged men in this way? So to honor your father suitably is to, first of all, show him the respect which he deserves, because it is God who has appointed him to this position and given him authority and responsibility in it. And so, you should listen carefully to his teaching and receive his instruction when it is in line with the Bible and what the Bible commands. Now, second, honor to fathers has in it the component of submission to what they require. We're speaking of biblical submission now. I want you to turn with me over to Ephesians chapter 6. The book of Ephesians in the New Testament, chapter 6. We'll look at verses 1 to 4. It says here, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." So children, your first and foremost commandment in your young life is to obey your parents in the Lord, it says here. In stating that children are to obey their parents, Paul is using a quotation from the Ten Commandments to honor your father and your mother, which is given to us twice, once in Exodus 20 and a second time in Deuteronomy 5. And this is one of the great ways that God expects you, children, to honor your parents. It is to obey them. I think this is really quite an amazing thing. You see, there's also a promise annexed to this commandment. It says that it may be well with you and that you may live long upon the earth. Have you noticed? It's when you do not obey your godly parents that it does not go well for you in this life. And it's entirely possible even that if you continue to dishonor them, that you may actually shorten your life. Well, you see over and over again in the Word of God that God instructs young people in the strongest terms not to go against their father and his instruction. And I want you to look with me at Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 20. It says here, whoever curses his father or mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness. The lamp that's being spoken about is that light that the young person sees by, that is coming from his own understanding. Proverbs 30 and verse 17 says, the eye that mocks father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it. Oh, children, you need to see how much it grieves your parents if you will not listen to their instruction. Do you not see how it pains them when you insist on going your own way? If you do, if you are stubborn, if you're out to pursue the world, if you're out to believe in the world's empty philosophy, thinking that you know better than what your father and mother are telling you, your godly mother and father, how can it be honoring to your father if you talk back and argue with them? With him, when he's patiently and lovingly trying to get you to see the problems with this, the world's philosophy, the world's way of thinking, the world's way of doing things. You know, that's fighting against your father's good teaching. It's fighting against his instruction, his good instruction, the instruction from God, the God of the Bible. And it must be repented of if you would have things go well for you, it says here in the Bible. The way of Bible submission to your godly father is the way to a long and satisfying life. In the verses that I quoted to you from Proverbs, they're so strongly opposed to the course of fighting against wisdom and instruction of your godly father, then just think, if that's the case, just think of the wonderful blessings that will come to you when you are honoring your father. We should honor our father because it is he who commands us to do those things that he finds in God's word. If he's a godly man, that's what he'll do. He'll train up his child in the way that they should go. In Genesis 18, verse 19, God says of Abraham, for I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they may keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him, that is all the blessings that he promised to him. So it's the honor given to fathers that their children will obey them and submit to their teaching from the Bible and biblical principles. Why? Because it means that the way of the Lord, it says here, will be kept. Do you see the connection? How can the way of the Lord, that is the way of righteousness and truth, continue upon the earth if there are no fathers to communicate the way of the Lord to their children that they might walk in it? Why? Because the fathers, they get older and they die. And the next generation comes and they have to take up authority as fathers and mothers and heads of state and etc. And we could go on and on. If they don't know the Lord, if they don't walk in the way of the Lord, then how can we expect that the Lord's judgments will not come upon our society, even as the judgments were being brought against Israel in the very passage that we're studying here today? But if you know him, it's so good to hear what God says here, for I have known him. Not only you know God, but God knows you and your trustworthiness and your faithfulness to do and keep his commandments and to teach your children well. Oh, this is good. I'm saying that when the way of the Lord is kept, then God will abundantly bless the family in what they do. That's what he's promising here. He will give to that family spiritual and eternal blessings. That's what brings joy to the heart of a godly father to see his children walking in truth. 3 John 4. A godly father will train up his child in the way that he should go. He will teach him to observe all things commanded by the Lord. And he will take notice of the obedience in his children, and he will praise it, and he will reward it. And he will take notice of disobedience to the Lord's word to correct it if he can, so that his children are walking on the right path. A third component, honor to fathers, consists of an appreciation for what they do for you. It's a very good thing when you take notice of the fact that your father is the one who does many things for you, which you ought to deeply appreciate. He works hard. He provides for all of your physical needs. He provides you with food that you eat, the clothes that you put on, the bed that you sleep on, a roof over your head. And he provides you not with just the bare essentials, if he can afford it. He will sometimes give you things which will build your strength recreationally. He will give you things which will challenge you and help your mind intellectually and spiritually. Now, I wonder if you've come to see that it honors your father if you tell him that you are thankful for him. Are you thankful for him if you have a godly father? Because you've come to know that this kind of love that he has shown you has been wise and it's been discerning love. And he's done you good. And he's shown you what was good for you physically and mentally. Your father, if he is godly, remembers the words of Jesus in Luke 11, 11 to 13. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a stone or instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You say, well, I don't sense the Holy Spirit in my life. Have you asked for him? If your father gives you good gifts and he knows how to give them, then how much more your heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? That is, all the blessings of salvation and all the guidance that you need into truth and the wisdom that you need to live in the right way before God and men. You see, a godly father gives his children the Bible. He gives them good books that speak about the Bible as well. And he asks them if they have read them. And indeed, he will read them to them himself if they are young, or if they are reluctant to pick up a book for themselves. He prays for them and he prays with them. And he would have them to learn to pray for themselves even before they come to know the Lord, in order that they might come to know the Lord. He prays for them and he pleads with them to ask God for the greatest gift, the gift of salvation in Jesus Christ, the gift of the Holy Spirit, who comes to live in their heart when they exercise faith. A father prays, I'm saying, that his children will learn to pray for themselves so that they may be saved from their sins. And he prays that they will find all that is and all that God is interesting. Why is it that so many young people are bored in this generation? Well, I believe that part of the reason is because they do not know God. It's because they have not found the riches of Christ's glorious grace, that he has a fullness which can fill their souls and give them true joy and happiness and blessing and meaning in life. A father, I'm saying, will pray that they will be filled with all the fullness of God in their young minds and hearts, because God is supremely interesting. God is supremely wonderful. God is supremely wise. And all of life which he has created is interesting in every way. And Psalm 112, verses 2 to 4 says, "The works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever." So God has created all things that every person might take an interest in them. And if you are bored, it is because you think that you have seen it all, when actually you've only touched the fringes of his ways. When you come to know Christ, oh, how much you will appreciate your godly father and mother, and how much you will attempt to honor them and to speak well of them and thank God for them. And then the fourth component to honor your father is to love him because he has loved you. A father, Benjamin Keach, tells us, dearly loves, highly esteems, and greatly pities his children. If they are sick or under any calamity, his tender and compassionate heart yearns with pity and sympathy to them. In this love, the earthly father portrays and represents God, the heavenly father, to his child. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. Psalm 103, verse 13. How do we know love? It's because God first loved us. But we know love, extending this truth, from our fathers. Think about John 4, 7 to 11 with me. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins, that is, the wrath-removing sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So let me ask you this morning, did you, as you were growing up, have a father who loved you? A father who himself knew God? Or perhaps you did not have a loving father, I do not know. But often we come to know God or not know God as a child from how our father acted towards us. And we can more easily honor the father whose love was clearly shown and demonstrated to us because we came to know it and we experienced it. But I would say to you today, don't let the sins of your earthly father stop you from considering the love of God the Father in sending His only begotten Son to be the Savior of the world and the propitiation for our sins. If you can't honor your earthly father's love towards you, then honor the heavenly Father's love toward you in Christ and believe in Him. Will you not honor God the Father today by placing your faith in Jesus Christ for your salvation? And if you trust in Christ, you are honoring God the Father. It says in John 5, 22, 23, "For the Father raises the dead and gives life to them. Even so the Son gives life to whom He will. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent Him." So you can see, you can honor the Father by honoring the Son with your total and implicit trust in His finished work upon the cross and His resurrection from the dead. And when you do this, you will no doubt also come to see how important it is that children have fathers who are godly, and that you will appreciate God's gift in giving them to us as we do here today. We honor fathers. We especially honor godly fathers as God's gift and God's blessing to our society this day. They are essential to the fulfillment of God's purposes and plans being fulfilled in the world in all generations and in our generation today. So let us honor God the Father today, who gives us holy fathers, fathers like Joshua, who said in Joshua 24:15, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Beloved, we need more fathers like Joshua, and it is for this that we will pray. Let's pray together. Our God, we thank You for this text, which teaches us so much about honor in Your Bible, which teaches us so much of how to honor You by trusting in our Lord Jesus Christ, how to honor our Father in the way that we've talked about. here today in all these particular ways that we have heard and I have spoken to your people about. Help us, dear Lord, to be those who truly honor our Father. Help us to honor your authority in the Word and to believe and trust in all the doctrinal truth, all the practical wisdom of your Word as it comes to us even now. In Jesus' name, amen.